Invite Pete up to come share. So I think we're going to have a time afterwards of just praying, maybe praying for one another, so we can have a bit more time afterwards. Yeah? Good. Shall we pray for you?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. Could do with the prayer.
Could do with some prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, we just want to thank you for dear Peter. Thank you for everything that you've already put in his heart and in his mouth. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, you would just give him strength, Lord Jesus, Lord, to just give all that you've given him, Lord. And Lord, give us fast fingers to keep up with all the scripture references. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Right, I'll try to be better tonight. I can't promise, but I'll try. Thank you for the table. Yeah, hallelujah. It's great to be together and to worship the Lord. Just to be in his presence is precious, isn't it? And to be together in his presence is wonderful. There's so many countries in the world where people can't do this. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they can't do this. What a privilege we have, don't we? We can be here together. And I was just thinking then, you know, when I was sharing this morning about the Lord's promise about the house of prayer, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. And one of the things the Lord says was, I will make my people joyful in my house of prayer. And I've always found that right from the start of my life with the Lord, to see God answer your prayers is the most wonderful thing in life. And he wants each one of us to experience that, doesn't he? And, you know, God wants each one of us. He wants to pour out his blessing on all of us, as we heard just a moment ago. And it's just fantastic. And I can remember as a very young Christian, and this came back to me just the other day because somebody said God knocked at somebody's door. And I wonder if God ever knocks at your door. Well, there's lots of people have knocked at Rora's door in the 50, 60 years. I remember one prayer that just stands out from when I was a young Christian, and it blessed me so much. I was living in Manchester, I was a student, and I was going out on the soup run about midnight. And it was a time when the electricity workers were on strike, which was way before a lot of people's memory. But anyway, there were no streetlights. And I was going to meet a friend, and we were going to go together to this place in the middle of Manchester to give soup and bread to homeless people in the middle of the city. And so anyway, I prayed before I went, I said, Lord, I don't know exactly where my friend lives, but you do, and please help me to find him. And, you know, no phones or anything like that, you know. And anyway, I got on the bus, and the road he lived on was about 2 miles long in Manchester. Yeah, it was 2 miles long site road. Anyway, I got on this bus and I prayed and asked the Lord to show me where to get off. And I kind of felt a particular movement. I should get off the next stop. Anyway, I don't know how it came, but anyway, I didn't hear a voice or anything, but I just felt I should get off at the next stop. So I got off the next stop and I started walking up the road, and you literally could not see a thing. I mean, literally, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was pitch black. It was Manchester. You know, Manchester at night with no street lighting is absolutely the pits. Anyway, as I was walking along the pavement, I bumped into somebody and I said, oh, sorry. And he said, is that you, Pete? I said, yes, it's me. Is that you? Jeff, I think his name was. He said, yes, it's me. I said, what are you doing out on the pavement? He said, somebody knocked at the door, so I came out to see who it was. God makes us joyful in his house of prayer, doesn't he? And anyway, we got on another bus and we went and we did what we wanted to do. There was another time, I'll tell you this is off piste, but anyway, there was another time we were going to the same place, and I missed the bus. So anyway, I went on a later bus. And in those days, I was a poor student, and I had a fireman's greatcoat as my coat of the year, you know. And anyway, I landed in the middle of Manchester where the homeless people gathered, and I sort of walked up to join the group. And this student came up to me, and he had a hunk of bread in one hand and a cup of soup in the other, and a very pitiful look on his face. And he looked at me and he said, "Here, mate." And to be honest, I didn't have the heart to say I was a student there to help, so I just took it and ate it. And anyway, there you go. So it's wonderful when God answers your prayers, and this is the amazing thing about our God, isn't it? If we want a proof of God, people ask for proof of the existence of God. Well, use your eyes, for goodness sake. You know, look out there, look up there. If you can see the skies at night, look up there. Wow, who did that? Where did that come from? And, you know, for us, God answers our prayers. And what better proof than God is alive? God's not dead, he's alive. Hallelujah. And I was listening the other day to Professor Lennox. I don't know if you ever listened to him. He's on YouTube. Lots of very interesting talks on there. And this is relevant to what I'm going to say in a minute, okay? Let's go to where I'm going to say first, and then we'll come back to Professor Lennox. All right, in just a moment. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 3 this evening. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1 to verse 7. If somebody would like to read that out to us, that would be great. Thank you. Hebrews 3, verse 1 to 7. Thank you.
"Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our
faith." Amen. Thank you very much, Mike. Christ has come as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we belong to him. And then the condition, if we hold fast the confidence that we have. Wonderful scriptures here, and I'll try to stay close to them and see where we go. So the writer begins, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Well, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? Holy brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, God looks on us and he sees us as holy brethren. I always think of that time when Balak called Balaam to curse the children of Israel as he saw them sort of from the mountaintop, and there they were in their thousands and hundreds of thousands, and they caused God so many problems in the wilderness. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 21. I think it is. And all through Numbers, you read of spiritual declension. Time after time, they were testing God's patience, testing everything that God had said to them. They were really, really testing him. And God said, through Moses, God put up with their manners in the wilderness so many times. But then when the pagan king of the Moabites, Balak, comes and asks the sorcerer Balaam to curse the people of God, God puts a word in the sorcerer's mouth and said, "Look at my people. Look at my people. Oh, they're so blessed. These are the people who God has blessed. There is no divination works against Jacob. That's a great thing, isn't it, to know? There's no divination works against Jacob. No power of darkness can work against the children of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has been shed on Calvary. And the blood of Jesus has paid the full price for you and me. And Satan has no rights over us anymore. Glory to God. Holy brethren, and you might look at yourself tonight and you think, I feel in such a mess. And God looks on you and said, my holy child, I love you. Let me do for you all that I want to do for you. Let me increase in you my work. Let me form my son in you more than you've ever known in your life, so that my image will be reproduced in your life. And you know, the way that the image of Christ is formed in us, Malachi talked about it. He said the refiner sits over the pot of silver and he begins to refine the silver. And if you've ever seen a picture of it, basically out in the East anyway, the man sits cross-legged and he's got a pot, and there's a fire underneath the clay pot, and in the pot he drops his bits of silver and it melts. And then as it melts, the scum rises to the surface, the impurities in the silver. And so he takes a stick and he just gently wipes off the impurities. And he wipes them on a piece of paper, because there might be some silver sticking to the impurities. You don't want to throw it all away. And then the silver starts bubbling some more. And then he takes a pipe, just a simple bit of bamboo, and he blows through it. And he makes the fire grow hotter underneath the clay pot. And as the fire grows hotter, more scum rises to the surface. And there was a lady who had some relatives in Bobby Tracy, and her name was Helen Rosevere. And I remember hearing her say that when you are on the mission field, the scum rises to the surface. But why? Because the heat is on, the pressures are on. And it may be in your life here, you're not on a mission field as such, but you, the world is God's mission field, isn't it? Jesus said, the field is the world. The whole world is God's mission field. Wherever there are souls who need Jesus Christ, and how many places so need Jesus in our own country at this time, there God is at work. And when the pressure is on, and when we are seeking to win people for the Lord, or to be his witness among people who don't know the Lord, then things happen. Situations arise, words are spoken, and the scum rises to the surface. But that's the refiner's fire. That's the wonderful thing. It's the refiner's fire, and he'll never heat it hotter than we can bear. That's the other great thing. The refiner is in control of the refining process from beginning to end. And whatever he does, it's for his own purpose. And the purpose of that little picture is that when the silver is pure, when is it pure? It's when the refiner can look into it and he sees his own face reflected back to himself, and there's no scum. And Jesus, God looks at us, and yeah, he knows all about our impurities. He knows all about the things that are scum in our lives, but he looks at us through Jesus, and he sees the perfection of Jesus in you and me. And he knows what he's after. Hallelujah. And the day is coming when we will see Jesus, and we will see him. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't do that, can we? There's no way we can do that of ourselves. God says, you are holy brethren. This is what I'm doing for you. This is what I'm doing in you right now, today. Here and now, as you listen to my word, here and now, I'm refining you. I'm bringing things into your life. I'm taking things out of your life. And sometimes it is painful. It is, the fire is hot. But if we hold fast the confidence, our trust in Jesus, that he is only doing these things for our good and for our sanctification, then hallelujah, we shall see that day come. Glory to his wonderful name. So holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You know, God calls us to know him. God calls us to know him. That's an amazing statement. The eternal, the infinite God calls you and me to know him in a personal relationship where we can know his love and his kindness to us and stuff that we never knew before, we never dreamed of before. And Paul said, I'm pressing on. He said, you know, this is Paul. This is Paul. And he said, I haven't got it all yet. He said, but I'm pressing on because the call of God is upwards. It's always onwards and upwards. Yes, onwards. All right. Maybe through difficult things in life. And, you know, maybe you've had a difficult week this past week. Well, I can sympathize. I can absolutely, totally sympathize. I mean, to put it bluntly, you know, your boiler breaks down twice. So you've got no hot water and no heat in the house. And there are people in the house who really feel the cold. And then your car breaks down and your daughter's car breaks down. And this is all in 3 or 4 days last week, okay? and you think, is something going on here that I should know about? But God is in control of all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is in control and he has a way through. He always has a way through. And it doesn't matter what remote part of the world you might be in, he always has a way through. I was in a place once with a friend in a car. I won't mention the name of the country because the Lord's people there have a hard time. And we were on an extreme road. You know these programs about extreme roads. It was one of those. We're, you know, 3,000 foot drop and no barriers and on one side and the mountain on the other side. And it was... Yeah, and it was like that. Anyway, there was this strange creaking noise from the back wheel and as we were going around a bend. And my friend, who was the driver, said, I think we've got a flat tire. And we've been driving, you know, the road is hairpins all the time. And in that country, they were actually remaking this road. So they were blasting the side of the mountain and there were huge, great boulders that kind of got in the way and you had to weave the be behind and around them and you're often very close to the edge. And anyway, there was a little bit of a wider space, so he stopped the car and we got out. And of 6 wing nuts that were holding the wheel on, there was only one left. Yeah. Have you had a week like that? There's only one wheel on your 3 wheels on your wagon. But God, in that extreme situation, God helped us find the missing nuts by walking back down the road away. They glinted in the sunshine. And it's a longer story than that. But anyway, God helped us. First, my friend said, look, Pete, I'll have to leave you here and try and get back to the nearest town. I said, okay. He said, remember, this is tiger country. Okay, yeah, but the Lord found a way through, as he always does, and here is Jesus. Okay, let's get back to the main point. Okay, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So this word consider here, katanoio, kata means fix your mind on this, noio thinking. Put your mind strictly to this. Okay, fix your thinking very carefully on this is a sort of a more amplified version of it. Or as Vine says, think decisively to a definite understanding of who Jesus is. This is the most important thing in life. Jesus be the center. Jesus be everything to me. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus, fix your thinking, come to a definite understanding, and let our thinking be so fixed on him that nothing can shift us off that basis. Now, we live in an age when everything is trying to shift us from thinking rightly about Jesus Christ. Everything in the modern Western world is, as you know, it's under one kind of flow of media-driven, politics-driven, globalization-driven, money-driven agendas to a certain end, and that is that man shall be his own God. Basically, that's the aim. You shall be as God. You know, it's the old temptation. And everything is driving that way. And we who love the Lord are the ones who are going against the tide. Anna's got a lovely picture in her office. It's of it's going to be in the loo upstairs. So I recommend that you use the loo upstairs, okay? Because it's of a whole shoal of fish, and they're all swimming one way, and they're all bluefish, okay? But there's one fish right in the middle, and it's a redfish, and it's swimming in the opposite direction. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold in your thinking. Yeah, J.B. Phillips, wonderful translation. And we have to think on the basis of things as they are in God's sight. And God says that we are his holy people, chosen of him in Christ before the world began, with a definite endpoint for our lives, which is an eternal endpoint, to be with Christ forever. Hallelujah. And that God is working his eternal purpose out, as we heard this morning and last night. God is working his eternal purpose out through the church, whose house we are. We are the house of God. Paul says that to Timothy, doesn't he? 1 Timothy 3:14. The church, which is the house of God. The only institution on earth which is not man-made. The only institution on earth which is not man-made is the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God made everything and God made the church. It's a wonderful thing to think. I was just coming here. Consider the apostle, the messenger, the one who came with God's message to say, there is a problem with mankind. We know what it is. It's this wall called sin that keeps God out and keeps us walled into things that maybe we don't want to be walled into. But there's no way out until Jesus breaks through that wall and comes into our lives in a dynamic intervention and invasion of our personality by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he makes us new men and new women. And if that's never happened to you, God can do that for you tonight. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And he begins his remaking of us. He comes as God's messenger. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? This is really important. What we are hearing tonight through these imperfect lips is that what God is giving to us, the gospel of his Son, was first spoken by the Lord and has been passed on from human being to human being in a golden chain of testimony for 2,000 years without any stoppage. Somewhere on earth there has always been a group of people who call themselves the people of God. And you have to look very hard into history sometimes to find where they are, but they have always been there. They were hidden in the mountains of Italy, the Waldenses and people like that, and they were hidden in Northumbria, they were hidden in Ireland, they were hidden in various places after the collapse of the Roman Empire, because before, you know, in this country there are house churches from the days of the Roman Empire. There's one down in that place, Lillingstone, near you. Lullingstone, near you. There's one in Vindolanda, near Hexham, in Northumbria. There are house churches, date to 2,000 years ago, yeah. Hallelujah. And God does his wonderful things. He brought this message through Jesus. He's the apostle of our salvation, but he's also our great high priest, who mediated for us before God and still mediates on high for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He's the bleeding sacrifice for our sins, the sacrifice that satisfied the heart of God the only sacrifice that has ever satisfied the heart of God or ever could. So consider him, fix your thinking on him. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and Jesus fulfilled the Father's plan to the absolute last detail. Down here it says, Jesus was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. I was thinking about this because that word about Moses being faithful, it's in also in Numbers, it's in Numbers chapter 12. And God is saying to Miriam, look, this man, your brother, I speak to him as a man speaks to his friend. He's faithful in all my house. So what was God's house there? Well, God's house to Moses must have been the presence of God and God speaking things to him, which he then took on board. And it's the same for you and me. God speaks to us. So there are things that God wants us to take on board. Maybe even tonight, there's something that God wants to say to you that's a particular word to you. And God wants you to take it on board. And as you hear him and obey him in that word, so God's great salvation will have its outworking in your ordinary, what you may think is unexceptional life. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, God comes to places where people pray. And if you've been seeking God in prayer, God will certainly come to you because God is faithful. And we never know where God is going to turn up. You never know. That place that Tim mentioned where we had a family visit last year, a place called Prakonchai in Thailand. And who's ever heard of Prakonchai? Please raise your hand if you've heard. Oh, wonderful people, wonderful people. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down now. That's great. Prakonchai is a place in Thailand that nobody had ever heard of except God back in the day. And it's in northeast Thailand. And there was no church there, no Christians, no Bibles, no worship of God, nothing. And a girl from that town married an American GI, and she was with him in the Philippines where he was based. And she came to know the Lord in the Philippines through an American missionary. And she told this missionary, please pray for my town in Thailand. There's no churches. Please go to my town in Thailand. There are no churches, no Bible, no Christians, nothing. So he said, okay, what's the name? And she said, Prakonchai. So he wrote the name down on a piece of paper, he put it in his wallet, and then every time he took his wallet out of his back pocket, he saw the name Prakonchai, and he prayed for it, and prayed that God would send messengers to Prakonchai. And then we were sent out from Rora Christian Fellowship in January 1981, and we went to Thailand, and 3 years later, we were living in Prakonchai. And 4 years later, that's right, and so was our little Helen. She was very small in those days. She was only 3 months when she went to live in Prakonchai. But God took care of us. God took care of us. Hallelujah. You know, God answers, God hears prayer, and he makes us joyful in his house of prayer. And Jesus sends his messengers to places so that people can hear of him and become joyful in their own lives. People who never heard the name of Jesus before. I just want to tell you one person, okay, and this is a woman called Ba Supi. Ba means auntie, Supi, Thai name. Oh, she was also known as Me Tong, which means Golden Mother. Now, she had a tragedy in her life. She was a devout Buddhist, and then she had a tragedy in her life. Her husband was shot dead in front of her eyes. And she went out of her head for about 2 years. But then her nephew had come to know Jesus in the town of Prakonchai. And he said, Auntie, I know somebody who can help you. And he told her about Jesus. And she believed in the Lord. And then she opened her home. She opened her home. And her home was, because her husband had been the head man of the village, her home was one of the largest in the village. And it was filled with local people coming to hear about Jesus. And that's one of the churches there now that has, well, this is the church where 11 people came to the Lord last month from there, because they're reaching out. And that happened because a woman who was demonized in a particular village was delivered of demons by the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when her relatives saw what God could do, they wanted this Jesus too. Hallelujah. The apostle and high priest of our confession. This is Jesus. This is what he's doing. And he is faithful. He's faithful. He was faithful to God in his inner life. That was the first thing. Jesus said, my will is to do the will of him who sent me. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If you want to check me out, and you should always check the preacher out, Hebrews chapter 10, okay, and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. That's the Spirit of Christ prophesying in one of God's prophets hundreds of years before he came, saying, I'm coming in a human body, and I'm coming to do the will of God. You are in a human body. You're a whole person, spirit, soul, and body. However we describe ourselves, we are a whole entity. We are unique individuals, and we are here to do the will of God. Let me ask you, is that your priority in life? Is it your priority in life? Lord, I'm here to do your will, Lord. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for my own advantage. I'm not here to, you know, get lots of stuff for myself. I'm not here to become famous. I'm here because I'm here for you. And I want your will to be done in my life. However that works out. And God will look after the working out. God will look after the working out. He might put you in a job that's totally different from any job you've ever done before, but he's put you there because there you can bear testimony to him in your everyday life and in your contacts with people. He might take you to another part of the world because there he has some particular job for you to do for him that nobody else fits the bill in his sight. Okay, you might think there's loads of people more gifted, more able than everything. But God said, oh, okay, I want you there. And half the reason, this is Helen Rosevear again, half the reason I want you there is because I can only do in you there stuff that I can't do when if you stay here. See what I mean? Yeah, the refiner's fire. I can't refine you if you stay here. I need you to go over there. But while you're over there, I'll use you to do some stuff as well, okay, because that's my will for you. Glory to his wonderful name. This is Jesus. He was faithful to God in God's calling to him in his life. And that's all God wants you and me to do. Be faithful to him. Luke chapter 16, we won't go there because of time, but Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus said, he who is faithful in a little is faithful also in much. Okay, so in God's sight, if he gives you a little thing to do, and you do it with all your heart, cheerfully, gladly unto him, that's as great as if you preach the gospel to a million people like Billy Graham. Only Billy Graham could have done that. We've all heard of Billy Graham, but have you heard the name of his Sunday school teacher? I heard it the other day and I've forgotten it already. No, we don't hear that, do we? But he had a faithful Sunday school teacher who prayed for him. And Billy Graham was a really good-looking young man, and he had lots of girlfriends, and his Sunday school teacher saw that, and he just obviously poured out his heart. And one day he said to Billy, do you want to come to a meeting? And at first Billy wasn't interested, but he said, okay, I'll come. And he went to a meeting where the gospel was being preached, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And the rest is history. Yeah, it is history. Great man of God. Praise God. He was faithful in that little, and maybe God's given you a little to do. Be faithful in that little, because it means a great deal to the Lord. Hallelujah. It means a great deal to the Lord. It means everything to him if we are faithful in the little thing that he's given us to do. And and great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness to us is just immense. And here we have it in chapter 3. Christ came. Okay, Moses was faithful. God said to him, make everything according to the pattern I've shown you, according to the spec, according to the design. Use this for this and that for that. And you can read all the details in Exodus. Very detailed description of how the tabernacle was made, what the priests were to wear, how the garments were to be made, how the anointing oil was to be made with myrrh and frankincense mainly, and so on and so on. Those were earthly things which were a shadow of heavenly things. And Moses was faithful in making those as a servant. But then Christ came as a son. And the son is master of the house. Christ came as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence. Christ, the builder and maker of the universe, came for our redemption. The creator paid the price for his creature's sin. And I mentioned Professor Lennox, I just come back to him for a moment. And he has this wonderful description of how atheists ask the wrong question. And it's very, if you can pick it up on YouTube, if you have that, it's a great little video to watch, because he puts it very succinctly, and I can't do that. But basically, he talks about having a cup of tea. And he says, science can describe the process in detail. How if you apply heat to the molecules and you throw in tea leaves, you know, the substance, and you heat it all together, then eventually you'll come out with tea. And it can tell you exactly down to the last detail how that process works. But it can't answer the question, why are you making a cup of tea? That's where the house of cards falls down. Why are you making a cup of tea? Because I want to drink it. Yeah? And the science, pseudoscience, proposed by certain people will have us believe there is a conflict between science and belief in God. There is absolutely no conflict whatsoever. Because science is simply telling us the how of how God does it. But he doesn't tell us the why. Why did God create everything? Because he wanted to have fellowship with you and me. He wanted to know us. He wanted to be friends with us. He wanted to walk and talk with us. He wanted to share his life with us and have us share our lives with him. You know, and say, Lord, I'd really like something great to happen. I don't know what, but Lord, please. I'd really like something great to happen. Something to happen. Yeah, okay. Well, just hang on. Hang on in faith and see what happens. I was going to say something else then. Just a minute. Yeah, why make a cup of tea? That's right. Why make a cup of tea? Because God wants a drink from our lives. We are his cup of tea. Did you know you're Jesus's cup of tea? You really are. Yeah, he's my cup of tea too. I love him and you love him. And the other thing is, what color are peacock's wings? Anybody tell me what color are peacock's wings? Pardon? Blue and green and iridescent colours. Fantastic. Fabulous, aren't they? So sometimes you might have a feather at home or something. You look at it and you think, wow, that's amazing. Well, they're not. They're not. They're brown. Peacock's feathers are brown. How does it happen? God has made peacock's feathers in such a way that when the light strikes them, they refract the colours of the rainbow. So what we see is green and blue, beautiful iridescent feathers. It's because God has designed the feather to exactly refract light at a certain wavelength so that we see blue and green. Isn't that amazing? How could that happen by itself? It's impossible. Impossible. Anyway, sorry, the maker has come. And he is master of his own house. He is master of his own house. Now, I want to go one place, because I mentioned this morning, Zechariah is the place to go if you want to meet the builder. So we'll just go and meet the builder, just very briefly. Zechariah, and I'm going to chapter 6, and we'll read one of the prophecies of the coming of the Lord, where God wrote down what the builder would be like and the builder of his house. And this is what he says. We're in Zechariah chapter 6, and then verse 12, he says this. Speak to him, that's to Joshua, thus says the Lord, behold the man. Behold the man. Where have we read that? Behold the man, said Pilate, as he brought out Jesus to the crowds. Behold the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out. Okay, the branch here, it's not a normal tree branch. It's a new shoot rising from a dead stump. I saw this once in Cambodia, and in the most telling place of all. It was in the killing fields, just south of Phnom Penh. And there was a dead tree in the middle of the killing fields. And from its stump, there was a green shoot rising right out of the middle. That is the Church of Jesus Christ in Cambodia. And some of you have been there, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, in 1991, we were there, and I asked a Cambodian Christian church leader, how many Christians do you think there are in the country? She said, maybe 1,000. 20 years later, fast forward, OMF estimate, conservative, 200,000. 200,000. Okay, in Brazil, in the 1950s, 2 million Christians. Fast forward to 2020, 55 million Christians. This is what the builder does. He branches, things suddenly come to life wherever the builder goes. And here he is. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. And he shall be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Praise the name of the Lord. Here he is, the builder. He will build the house of the Lord. He will also sit on the throne of the Lord. He will also be a priest on the throne of the Lord. Nobody else fits those prophecies but one man. Behold the man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only man. Hallelujah. This is the word that God gave to Zechariah about 500 years before the Lord was born. And so many prophecies. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who could possibly be that person. So here we have the word of God, the sure word of prophecy confirmed by the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus as he came and started to build the house of the Lord as he wanted it to be. And here we are today in his house. If we love him, we're in his house. Praise his wonderful name. Excuse me. And the builder in Zechariah, the builder says, grace, grace to it, when he puts the final stone on top. Grace, grace to it. When Jesus put the final stone on top, he said, finished, accomplished, I've done it. Mankind, come in, come into my house. From all tribes and tongues, ethnicities, languages, peoples of every tongue, tribe, and nation. Hallelujah. The maker of the house opens the door so wide it's off its hinges. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus came to do that for you and for me. It's all finished. It's all done. And now, by his grace, we are here. And God is working his eternal purpose out through you and me. And there's one more thing. I just want to say that when Jesus talked about the Son being over his own house, he said this, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And I just want to say that Jesus has come to do that for every one of us. That if there's, he said it to us earlier, if there's anything in our lives that we want to be set free from, if there's anything that's troubling us, sometimes it's the pain of memories. And I want to say to you, I really believe the memories may remain, but God can take the pain away. I want to state that God can take the pain of the memories away. And God can heal things deep in our hearts that maybe have been there for many, many years. And Jesus is here as master of his own house. And if you love Jesus, you are his house tonight. And he wants to do that for you. He wants to bless you in that. And I think maybe we should just pray now. And if there's anyone who would like to have the Lord just have it be prayed for tonight personally, then there will be, there's opportunity. And Tim, maybe you could come and just, thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. The wonderful thing about Jesus is he said, don't worry, your father's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to, if you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a snake. Ask for something, a fish, he's not going to give you a scorpion. The Father only gives good things to his children. Hallelujah. We can ask him for his good things tonight in our hearts. Yeah. Amen.